The following material is taken from Technician's Manual, Liquid Heating Fuels, published by the National Oil Heat Research Alliance, copyright 2022.
Chapter 4, Fuel Units and Valves. Introduction. The fuel unit draws fuel from the tank to the burner, delivers it at a constant and regulated pressure to the nozzle, and provides fast and complete shutoff of the fuel on burner shutdown. Fuel units develop both vacuum and pressure, vacuum to draw the fuel from the tank, and pressure to deliver the fuel to the nozzle. Fuel units are available in either single-stage or two-stage models. The single-stage unit has one set of gears to both draw the fuel from the storage tank and pressurize it for delivery to the nozzle. Two-stage units have two sets of gears, one to draw fuel from the tank and return it, the other to pressurize the fuel. This allows the two-stage unit to provide higher lift capability than the single-stage unit. Component parts of the fuel unit. Fuel units contained machine gears, which provide vacuum and pressure, a pressure-regulating valve, which controls the pressure of the fuel discharged to the nozzle and provides fuel cutoff at the end of the call for heat, a strainer screen, figure 4-1, which filters the incoming fuel to protect the gears and prevent contamination from entering the nozzle, a solid shaft that extends through the fuel unit housing seal and drives the gears. The end of this shaft is connected to the burner motor by a flexible coupling, a shaft seal to prevent fuel from leaking out of the housing around the rotating shaft. Lubrication is provided to the seal through internal porting. In addition, most fuel units introduced since 2001 have integral solenoid valves to provide faster cutoff and provide valve on and motor off delays. See pages 44 and 50 for more info on solenoid valves. Understanding fuel unit pressure. Fuel unit pressure is the force created by the meshing of the fuel unit gears and is expressed in pounds per square inch, PSI. Pressure moves the fuel from the fuel unit to the nozzle. Fuel units can provide pressure up to their maximum rating, typically 200 to 300 pounds per square inch. Fuel unit pressure can be adjusted by turning a screw on the pressure regulating valve, figure 4-2. Understanding vacuum. Vacuum is negative pressure and is measured in inches of mercury, or IN, uppercase HG. It is a function of the resistance the fuel unit must overcome to draw fuel from the tank. Vacuum is not set. It is dependent on the location of the burner in relation to the level of fuel storage in the tank, the condition of the fuel supply piping, and the condition of components installed in the suction line, filters, valve, etc. Normally, the numeric value for the vacuum is shown with an inch mark. Example, 5 inches of vacuum. Approximately 0.75 inch to 1 inch mercury of vacuum is generated for each foot the fuel is lifted. 1 inch of vacuum for each 10 feet of horizontal run, 2 inches to 4 inches for an oil safety valve, and 1/2 inch is for a clean fuel filter. For example, if there is 4 feet of lift from an underground tank, plus 10 feet of fuel line run to the burner, and a clean fuel filter, the calculated vacuum reading should be approximately 5.5 inches of mercury. In this situation, a vacuum gauge reading of 4 inches to 6 inches would be normal. To correctly calculate what vacuum should be, the level of the fuel in the tank must be known. A buried tank that is covered with 3 feet of dirt requires 3 inches of vacuum to lift the fuel from the top of the tank to ground level. If the tank is 48 inches high and half full of fuel, another 2 inches of vacuum is required to lift it from the level in the tank to the ground level, so a total of 5 inches is required just to lift it to ground level. If the fuel tank is above the burner and fuel does not have to be lifted, the fuel flows to the burner by gravity and there is no vacuum generated. This type of arrangement is ideal because vacuum can cause air bubbles to be released from the fuel, which can lead to combustion problems and/or burner shutdown. While vacuum is necessary in many situations, it is best to install systems in a manner that minimizes the amount required. Operation of the fuel unit. When the motor shaft turns the fuel unit shaft, fuel enters the strainer chamber through the intake port, either by gravity or by vacuum developed by the fuel unit. As the gears rotate, fuel is moved to the pressure regulating valve. The pressure adjusting screw on the regulating valve controls spring tension, which determines the pressure at which the fuel will force the piston open and be discharged through the nozzle port. This pressure is about 80% to 95% of the operating pressure. The minimum factory set operating pressure is 100 psi. The fuel unit can deliver as much as 40 times the amount of fuel required by the nozzle. It is important to understand that all of the fuel that enters the gears of the fuel unit must be discharged by those gears. Therefore, any excess fuel not delivered to the nozzle must be bypassed either internally, single pipe, back to the strainer chamber, or externally, two pipe, back to the tank. For the excess fuel to return to the tank, a bypass plug must be installed in the fuel unit. With this plug in place, the excess fuel travels through a return line from the fuel unit back to the tank. Pressure regulating valve operation. A cutaway of this valve is shown in Figure 4-3. This assembly consists of a valve body and matching piston. The pressure adjusting screw regulates the spring tension, controlling the pressure of the fuel discharged to the nozzle. The discharge pressure can typically be adjusted between 100 and 200 psi. The minimum pressure setting is 100 psi, but almost all burners operate at higher pressures, normally 120 to 190 psi. In the closed position, when the burner is off, the piston is held against the nozzle discharge port by a spring located behind the piston. When the fuel unit's gears develop sufficient pressure to overcome the spring tension, the piston is forced open, allowing fuel to flow through to the nozzle discharge port. On burner shutdown, spring tension against the piston will cause it to close, shutting off fuel discharge to the nozzle at a pressure approximately 20% below their operating pressure. Therefore, if the fuel unit pressure is adjusted to 100 psi, the shutoff pressure will be about 80 psi. The cutoff pressure may be different from 20% with some fuel units. However, what is important is that the pressure should drop and then hold. One-pipe systems, internal bypass. Most of today's systems require only one fuel line to bring the fuel from the tank to the burner. These are called one-pipe systems. With these, excess fuel drawn from the tank, but not sent to the nozzle, is bypassed internally back to the fuel unit's strainer chamber. Single-stage fuel units should operate at a maximum of 6 inches of vacuum on a one-pipe system. They can create much higher vacuum, but the fuel will begin to foam over 6 inches of mercury. If the calculated vacuum is less than 6 inches in mercury, it is best to connect the system with a one-pipe connection to the fuel tank. Two-pipe systems, external bypass. If more than 6 inches of vacuum is required, a fuel unit should be piped with a return line to the tank. This is called a two-pipe system. With these, excess fuel, not sent to the nozzle, is bypassed externally back to the tank. This requires that a bypass plug be installed in the fuel unit. An example of such an installation would be an abnormally high lift or long run from the fuel tank to the burner. If a single-stage fuel unit on a two-pipe system has an operating vacuum of over 12 inches, unstable flame conditions, a carboned-up firing assembly, an after-fire and or noisy flame may result. If more than 12 inches of vacuum is required, a two-stage fuel unit should be installed. Two-stage fuel unit and two-pipe system. The two-stage fuel unit has two sets of gears. The first set purges the unit of air and supplies an uninterrupted flow of fuel to the second stage that pressurizes the fuel to the nozzle. Figure 4-4 shows the fuel flow in a two-stage fuel unit. The first gear set provides the vacuum to fill the strainer chamber and provides a low-pressure fuel supply to lubricate the shaft seal. The second set of gears provides the pressure for the fuel taken from the strainer chamber and sent to the nozzle. Even though single-stage fuel units are capable of creating 20 inches of vacuum, two-stage fuel units are needed because fuel starts to break up or vaporize at vacuum levels as low as 6 inches, figure 4-5. When this happens, foamy fuel collects in the single-stage fuel unit and it begins to cavitate. The fuel unit sends this foam directly to the nozzle, causing unstable atomization, smoke, and soot. Also, when the burner shuts down, the air bubbles in the nozzle assembly expand, pushing fuel out of the orifice, creating an afterdrip. The two-stage fuel unit is designed to correct the foaming fuel problem. The first set of gears brings fuel into the fuel unit, and it returns any foam back to the tank via the return line. It is advisable to use the lower inlet port of the fuel unit, figure 4-6, so even at relatively high vacuums, foam-free fuel is delivered to the nozzle. In a two-pipe system with a two-stage fuel unit, it is not advisable to exceed 17 inches of vacuum. Figure 4-7 shows the effect that 20 inches of vacuum has on a fuel unit. With high lift or long fuel line runs where excessive vacuum is required, the use of a booster pump, figure 4-8, or fuel deaerator may be required. The installation and associated piping of a system using a booster pump is described later in this chapter. Avoid two-pipe systems. Two-pipe systems should be avoided whenever possible. The average fuel unit can move over 15 gallons of fuel an hour, and the average burner fires at 1 gallon per hour. With a two-pipe system, over 15 gallons of fuel are moved from the tank to the burner for each gallon burned, and filters become clogged 15 times faster. In addition, while a suction line leak will cause burner problems, the burner will not be affected by a return line leak. The average return line is under about 2 pounds of pressure, which will allow a large quantity of fuel to leak out of a small pinhole in hundreds of hours the burner runs each year. With a two-pipe system returning fuel to the tank, the only way to know if there is a return line leak is when the customer runs out of fuel early or fuel shows up somewhere on the property. Also, it appears that two-pipe systems facilitate sludge formation. Copper is a catalyst that affects all fuels. Prolonged exposure to copper fuel lines causes fuel molecules to clump together and plug up nozzles, strainers, and filters. Fuel deaerators and hybrid piping systems. Fuel deaerators, shown in figure 4-9, have been developed to reduce problems with two-pipe systems and eliminate air problems caused by excessive vacuum. Many service professionals recommend that they be installed on all systems in which fuel needs to be lifted from the tank. With a deaerator installed, the piping system is a combination of a one-pipe and a two-pipe system. The deaerator has a one-pipe connection to the fuel tank and a two-pipe connection to the burner. This eliminates the liability of a leak in the return line to the tank, greatly reduces the amount of fuel circulating from the tank to the burner, and extends the life of fuel filters. Here is how a deaerator works. 1. Fuel is drawn from the tank to the deaerator through a single pipe so that only the amount of fuel that is burned is replaced from the tank. 2. Surplus fuel is pumped back to the deaerator instead of back to the tank. 3. A surplus fuel cycles through the deaerator loop. It absorbs heat from friction and its surroundings, reducing cold flow problems. Fuel unit limitations. 1. NFPA 31, the National Fire Protection Association's standard for the installation of oil burning equipment, limits the shaft seal pressure to 3 psi. Although most fuel units are rated at 10 psi inlet or return line pressure by the manufacturer, oil safety valves, OSVs, can be used to protect the fuel unit from excessive pressure when required by the site conditions. See page 51 for additional information regarding OSV valves. 2. Single-stage fuel units should not be operated beyond 6 inches of vacuum when installed for a one-pipe use. Single-stage, two-pipe installations should not be operated above 10 inches of vacuum. 3. Although manufacturers rate two-stage fuel units up to 17 inches of vacuum, NORA recommends that they should operate below 12 inches of vacuum to minimize foaming. Fuel units with integral solenoid valves. When the burner shuts off, the fuel must also shut off quickly and completely. To do this, most fuel units incorporate an integral solenoid valve. There are also two types of fuel units with built-in electromagnetic shutoff integral solenoid valves. One is the blocking valve fuel unit, and the other is the bypass valve fuel unit. The blocking valve fuel unit features a normally closed valve that stops the flow of fuel to the nozzle, just like an externally mounted solenoid valve does. With this fuel unit, the fuel is shut off in two ways. One, by an electric valve, and two, by the pressure regulating valve. The bypass valve fuel unit is a normally opened valve that controls the flow of fuel to the nozzle indirectly by diverting fuel flow inside the fuel unit. When it is time to shut off the fuel flow, the valve opens, causing the pressure to drop quickly and the pressure regulating valve to close sooner. This is opposite the blocking valve operation. When the blocking valve opens, fuel flows. When the bypass valve opens, fuel flow stops. Either type of valve will enable a quick cutoff. However, to get delayed fuel flow on startup, either a valve on delay primary control or an electronic delay device is required. These devices enable cleaner startups by allowing the burner motor to get up to full speed, turning both the fan and the fuel unit at their rated RPM so that the full airflow and full fuel pressure are provided on ignition. Figure 4-10. Servicing and testing the fuel unit. Primary venting and bleeding. When air enters a one-pipe system, it must be bled from the fuel unit to restore the burner to proper operation. Failure to do this completely can cause pulsation, changes in flame condition, or excessive dripping at the nozzle after the burner shuts off. To eliminate air in a one-pipe system, 1. Attach a small hose to the bleed valve and connect the other end to a suitable container. 2. Open the valve one turn counterclockwise. 3. Run the burner until foam and air bubbles stop and clear fuel flows from the bleeder valve for about 15 seconds and close the valve. If the fuel unit has been completely drained of fuel, it may be necessary to remove the supply line and fill the unit with fuel before adequate suction can be obtained. After bleeding the unit, always check the flame for stability and clean burner shutdown to be sure that all air has been purged from the system. Venting of air is normally not necessary in a two-pipe system with a two-stage fuel unit, but venting may be faster if the bleeder valve is open to expel air. Vacuum power bleed. If the fuel lines run above the tank and back down to the burner, proper bleeding of the fuel unit is critical. To bleed a fuel unit line and everything else all the way back to the tank, perform the following. 1. Fill the fuel unit with fuel and place a hose over the bleeder. A device like the one shown in Figure 4.11 works well for this purpose. 2. Open the bleeder one full turn. Make sure that the open end of the bleed hose is immersed in fuel in a pail or bucket. 3. Close the fuel valve at the tank and start the burner. 4. Wait until the fuel unit starts to whine. If a vacuum gauge is installed, it will show 20 inches to 25 inches of vacuum. If white vapor starts coming out of the hose, the fuel unit is dry and needs to be refilled with fuel. 5. Open the fuel valve and bleed for several minutes. Some fuel will appear, then bubbles, then air-free fuel. 6. Once all the air is bled out, close the bleeder with the fuel unit running. Note: deaerators are often successfully used to eliminate the need for power bleeding. Field pressure and cutoff checks. Two of the most important service checks for a fuel unit are the output pressure check and the cutoff pressure check. These checks can be made on most fuel units by inserting a pressure gauge into the nozzle port. With Riello burners, a gauge adapter is necessary, figure 4-12. Output pressure check. 1. Operate the burner to determine fuel unit pressure, which should be set to manufacturer's recommendations. 2. Turn the pressure regulating adjusting screw clockwise until the pressure increases to 40 or 50 psi, but not above 200 psi. If the fuel unit cannot achieve at least 150 psi, the gears or regulating valve are worn out and the fuel unit should be replaced. 3. After confirming that the pressure can be raised to an appropriate level, back off the pressure adjusting screw to the desired operating pressure. Uneven or fluctuating pressure can cause severe flame pulsation. A pulsating pressure reading, gauge needle jumps about from high to low, may indicate a partially clogged filter or strainer. Air may be present in the fuel unit caused by A, loose strainer chamber cover or defective strainer chamber gasket, B, air leak in the suction line, C, excessive suction line vacuum, or a slipping burner coupling. Note, slight fluctuations of the needle are considered normal in a non-liquid filled gauge. Cutoff pressure check. Once the operating pressure check has been completed, 1. Leave the gauge in the nozzle port. 2. Run the burner until the fuel reaches its pressure setting and then shut the burner off. As soon as the burner shuts off, the pressure should drop very quickly by about 10 to 20% to cutoff pressure of approximately 80%, and then hold that pressure. Field vacuum check. There are several situations that can indicate either an air leak or outgassing due to a high vacuum, and among these are pulsating fuel unit pressure, fuel unit noise, delayed ignition, poor flame retention, noisy fire, loss of flame during running cycle, burner flame will not establish after long shutdown, after fire. If there is no obvious cause for these problems, an operating vacuum test should be conducted to diagnose the problem. Checking system vacuum. It is best to be sure that a clean filter and strainer are in place before conducting the test. The first step is calculating what the vacuum should be, test to see what it is, and compare the two. An actual vacuum of approximately 0.75 inches per foot of lift and for each 10 feet of suction line. To simplify the math, 1 inch is used to approximate calculated vacuum. To calculate the appropriate vacuum, assume about 1 inch of vacuum for each foot of fuel lift. 1 inch for each 10 feet of horizontal run, 2 to 4 inches for an OSV valve, and 1/2 inch for a clean fuel filter. If the actual operating vacuum is significantly less than the calculated vacuum, there is either a leak in the fuel unit or somewhere in the fuel line. Insert a vacuum gauge capable of reading 30 inches of vacuum into an unused inlet port. It is important that the vacuum gauge be securely tightened so that vacuum leaks will not develop around the threaded fittings. Next, run the burner, bleed the fuel unit, and read the vacuum. The vacuum reading should approximate the calculated vacuum. If the gauge reading is substantially above the calculated vacuum, there is a restriction in the fuel supply that may be caused by one of the following: plugged fuel filter, kinked fuel supply line, partially closed fuel supply valve, check valve or foot valve inoperative or sticking. If a vacuum reading is significantly below the calculated operating vacuum, the probable causes are clogged fuel unit strainer, if not previously checked, air leak in the suction line or suction line fittings, a suction leak around the strainer chamber cover plate and gasket, defective fuel unit. Vacuum test. If the operating vacuum is significantly less than the calculated figure, determine if the fuel unit or fittings up to the shutoff valve are leaking by performing a vacuum test. The test is slightly different for single and two-pipe systems. For one-pipe system, remove the inlet line from the fuel unit, fill the unit with fuel, and install a vacuum gauge in the inlet port. 2. Turn the burner on and open the bleeder. 3. When the vacuum reaches 15 inches, close the bleeder. 4. Turn the burner off. The fuel unit should hold the vacuum level for 5 minutes. If the fuel unit cannot attain 15 inches or hold that vacuum for 5 minutes, it should be replaced. For a two-pipe system, 1. Remove the inlet line from the fuel unit. Fill the unit with fuel and install a vacuum gauge in the inlet port. 2. Remove the return line and its fitting. Put a container under the return port to catch any fuel drippings. Apply pipe dope to a fuel unit plug and put aside. Turn the burner on. When the vacuum reaches 15 inches, insert the plug into the return port. Turn the burner off. The fuel unit should hold the vacuum level for 5 minutes. If the fuel unit can't attain 15 inches or hold the vacuum for 5 minutes, it should be replaced. If the vacuum does not hold, there could be a leak in the fuel unit. Recheck the gasket, plug, and fittings and try again. If everything is tight, the leak is in the fuel unit and it will have to be replaced. If the vacuum holds, the fuel unit is not the problem. Remove the vacuum gauge and reconnect all fittings and fuel lines. Insert the vacuum gauge into an unused suction port or inline. See Figure 4-14. Shut off the valve at the tank or at the wall where the suction line enters the building. Do the test again. If the vacuum holds, the fuel unit and the suction line between the fuel unit and the valve are not leaking. The leak is between the valve and the tank. Warning: NORA recommends that fuel lines and tanks should never be pressurized. This includes blowing out the lines with a CO2 cartridge. Instead, use a hand pump to suck the line clear, Figure 4-15. When using a hand pump to clear the line, always pull the fuel from the line and pump the blockage into a bucket. Never push the dirty fuel back to the tank. Visual test or sight glass test for air in fuel lines. When an air line leak is suspected in the suction line, the source of the leak must be found. The first step is to tighten all fittings in the suction line and tighten unused port plugs in the fuel unit. Be sure there are no compression fittings in the fill lines. Then check the filter cover and gaskets, making sure there's a good gasket on the fuel unit cover. If none of this eliminates the problem, confirm that there is a leak, and to pinpoint the source, use the visual sight or sight glass method. To do a visual test, use a vacuum gauge and plastic tubing with fittings such as the Oil Watcher or ClearView. See Figure 4-16. Install the device between the fuel unit shutoff valve and the suction line. Bleed all the air out of the lines. If bubbles appear, there is a leak. One at a time, heading toward the tank, coat the fittings with lithium grease. The grease temporarily seals the leak. When the leaking fitting is covered, the air bubbles will disappear. Repair the leaking fittings and clean the grease off everything that was coated. An easier way to find leaks is by using an electronic sight glass. It is a handheld meter that has two transducers which can easily be mounted at any point in the suction line. When operating, one transducer transmits and the other receives an ultrasonic signal. The pulse of the signal received tells the unit that there is air in the pipe. If it detects air, it makes a noise. When using the electronic sight glass, attach the sensors just prior to the first fitting in the line. If no air is detected, attach the sensors just past the same fitting and test again. Proceed in this manner until arriving at a fitting with no air coming into it, but air after it. That fitting is leaking. Continue until all the leaks have been found. selection of replacement fuel units. Failed fuel units should be replaced with the manufacturer's specified model. Reference material for model numbers and date codes are available from the manufacturer and should be carried in the service vehicle and or on the technician's mobile device, as it will make selection of proper replacement units easier. When replacing fuel units, consider the following. Shaft rotation. Fuel units are designed for either clockwise CW or counterclockwise CCW rotation, and proper rotational direction is shown on the unit identification plate. When facing the shaft of the fuel unit, clockwise rotation is to the right, often shown by an arrow pointing to the right. Counterclockwise is to the left, with an arrow pointing left. Rotational speed. Most residential burners operate at 3,450 RPM. Some older burners operate at 1,725 RPM. It is important that the burner motor and the fuel unit both are rated for the same RPM. Nozzle discharge port location. For ease of installation, fuel units are built with either right or left-handed nozzle or discharge ports. As with shaft rotation, a right or left-handed port location is determined while facing the shaft end of the fuel unit. Shaft sizes. Most fuel units have either a 5/16 inch shaft or a 7/16 inch shaft. The smaller shaft may be bushed up for substitute replacement. Installation requirements. Be sure that the replacement unit is properly mounted and in line with the burner coupling. The flange-mounted bolts, which hold the fuel unit to the burner housing, must be securely tightened. Most couplings connecting the burner motor to the fuel unit are of the slip-on type. If the coupling between the motor and the fuel unit has hex set screws, first tighten the fuel unit mounting bolts, then securely tighten the hex screws against the motor shaft. To do otherwise may result in a jammed coupling and damage to the fuel unit, or the motor may occur. Strainers. It is necessary to periodically clean the fuel unit strainer, figure 4-17. To clean or replace the strainer, loosen the strainer chamber cover bolts, remove the cover, and slide out the strainer. Whenever the cover is taken off the strainer, be sure to scrape off the old gasket or O-ring and replace it with the proper replacement gasket or O-ring. Although strainers can be cleaned, most technicians simply replace them during preventive maintenance or when they become clogged. Be sure to tighten all the cover bolts evenly after reinstalling. Valves. External solenoid valves. Solenoid valves enable cleaner burning startups by preventing the flow of fuel to the nozzle until the burner is generating full fuel pressure and air flow. The use of a solenoid valve can delay the fuel delivery to the nozzle from anywhere from 4 to 15 seconds after the burner is powered. Figure 4-18 shows a solenoid valve. To achieve a longer delay, a primary control with a valve-on delay feature and a non-delay type valve should be used. Upon burner shutdown, the solenoid valve closes immediately, shutting off the fuel supply and providing a clean cutoff of the flame. Without the solenoid valve, the motor speed must decrease before the pressure regulating valve closes, which causes smoke due to the lack of combustion air. Figure 4-19 shows how the valve works. Note, the solenoid valve will only produce a clean shutdown if the fuel supply system is free of entrapped air. The solenoid valve will not control nozzle after drip that results from air in the fuel supply system between the valve and the fuel nozzle. This air is caused by high vacuum or an air leak in the suction line or fuel fittings. Installation. The solenoid valve is installed in the output port of the fuel unit. Standard 1/8 inch inside diameter black iron pipe can be used to connect the inlet port of the solenoid valve to the nozzle discharge port on the fuel unit. Use of the 1/8 inch pipe provides a rigid mounting for the valve. When used with an obsolete 3 or 4 wire primary control, the coil is electrically connected in parallel with the burner motor, see figure 4-20. and see figure 4-21 on the following page for a wiring diagram. Newer controls have a designated spade for the valve. Oil safety valve. When the fuel tank is higher than the burner, some codes require an automatic valve that will break the siphon should a fuel line leak develop. Two popular anti-siphon valves are the Webster OSV and the Suntech PRV. Figure 4-22 on the following page shows an oil safety valve. Its job is to protect against line leaks and tank siphoning, as well as to protect the fuel unit from excessive inlet pressure. When the burner comes on, the fuel unit creates a vacuum that pulls the valve stem down and opens the valve. When the burner shuts off, if there are no leaks, the valve stem will stay down and remain in this position. If there is a leak between the PRV and the burner, the siphon created by the leak will close the valve, shutting off the fuel supply to the line. If the orange stem sticks out of the top of the valve, a loss of vacuum siphon has occurred. If the top of the fuel supply source is more than 8 inches above the fuel unit, an oil safety valve must be installed. The NFPA rating for the inlet pressure on a fuel unit is only 3 psi, about 8 feet. If the height of the fuel supply above the unit is greater than 8 feet, the supply fuel pressure may exceed 3 psi and shorten the shaft seal life. If it is necessary to locate the tank at a greater height, an oil safety valve should be used in the fuel supply line. Oil safety valves are recommended whenever the tank is higher than the fuel unit. Thermal safety valve. NFPA 31 requires that fusible link safety shutoff valves be installed in the suction line at the tank, before the filter, and at the burner. If the tank is outside of the building, a fusible link shutoff valve is required at the wall where the suction line enters the building. Check valves and foot valves. A properly installed oil heat system does not require check valves for proper operation. Check valves prevent fuel flow from the suction line back to the tank. In cases of thermal expansion, inlet line pressure may increase and the high pressure can result in shaft seal damage. Foot valves are check valves installed on the end of the suction line in underground tanks. They are no longer needed and not recommended. However, they were common on older installations, and some are still in the field. It is not unusual for them to get stuck closed, preventing fuel flow. Booster fuel units. Booster fuel units are normally used to assure an adequate supply of fuel to one or more overhead furnaces. They are usually capable of lifting fuel 15 feet and supplying the fuel up to 35 feet above the fuel unit. They can be used as continuous or intermittent duty transfer units for filling an overhead feeder tank or other similar purpose. Booster pumps consist of a fuel unit and motor. Figure 4-23 shows a booster fuel unit. Piping. Following manufacturer's instructions, suction and return lines should be sized to the specific model boost pump and lift location. A return line from the fuel pump bypass connection to the tank is required in all installations. Extend the return line to a depth in the tank slightly higher than the suction line. Figure 4-24 shows the input or low pressure side of the installation. The auxiliary tank installation shown in Figure 4-25 on the following page is another way of hooking up multiple suspended furnaces. Figure 4-26 on the following page shows a pressurized system installation. Troubleshooting fuel units. Noise problem in the fuel units, lines, or tanks. Noise generated because of fuel unit operation or noise transmitted by fuel lines is annoying to the customer and should be corrected. Fuel unit noise. In addition to noise created by worn internal parts, misalignment of the burner coupling or loose installation bolts may be the source of noise problems. All fittings and bolts should be tightened securely. Fuel line noise. This is often the result of improperly fastened lines which vibrate against surrounding objects such as sheet metal appliance covers, ductwork, etc. If the suction line and return lines touch each other, they can create line noise. tank noise. This is not a common source of noise complaints. The cause can normally be traced back to transmission of noise by the fuel lines. A commonly overlooked source of tank noise is improper installation of the return line. The end of the return line of a two-pipe system should be located approximately 3 inches higher than the inlet line. This will prevent air from the return line entering the suction line while also eliminating the noise of fuel returning to the tank. Potential leaks in fuel lines. Leaking suction and return lines can cause serious problems. Treat every out-of-fuel call as a potential leak that should be investigated. Study fuel deliveries. Investigate each tank that takes more fuel than projected. Respond quickly to any calls from customers about fuel odors and concerns about increased consumption. These can be warning signs of trouble. Treat every water in the tank call as a potential tank leak that must be investigated. Any of the following operating problems with the burner can signify a leak: airbound fuel unit, loss of prime, poor cutoff, noisy operation, erratic fire, flame pulsation, rough starts or shutdowns, pressure fluctuations, after drip.